Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cesternino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories here for the week of May 10th, 2022, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Factual.
Yes, that's right. News AF is back here. I am back in the studio after recording from New York City last week. Well, we are back here with the News AF team of dreams. And here we are back with a man who many people know as Pickleball's top influencer, podcaster extraordinaire.
Correct.
America's dad, Tyson Apostle.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah.
No hat today.
Feels good. No hat.
Let me see.
What happened was yesterday I was getting sick of my hair. So I started calling around trying to find somebody to cut it. And the lady that I normally go to, I only go and get my hair cut like every 8 months and it's just a trim. So I was like, I need this all the way off my head right now. I don't know why. Something about it right now. Just get it off my head. And so I call, and I guess they're closed on Mondays. So I called a bunch of times thinking that maybe they'd open later in the day. Never were open. And I was all set to just commit to going and cutting my hair short. Then this morning I wake up and I look in the mirror. I'm like, my hair looks dope. Do I really want to cut it? So now I'm waffling a little bit. I don't know if I should cut it or not. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess sleep on all your good ideas. See if they'll, still be attractive as an idea in the morning.
Are they good ideas though? I sleep on an idea, I think is what you're saying. Yeah, sleeping on a good idea is bad.
But you won't know. You gotta wait till you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
You gotta sleep on all ideas.
Like put it in a drawer and then wait to send it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
And so then you die and have a drawer full of really angry letters that you got to throw away that they read at your funeral and exposes you as the jerk you were.
Yeah.
It's just like four dressers full of angry letters.
But we've been friends, all of us now, for so long. I feel like that we've been through many different life cycles of Tyson having long hair and then cutting it short. And then growing and then going back through the whole cycle over and over again.
Yeah, over and over again.
Tyson measures time by haircut. So he's that was around the third haircut that we did that.
When I first met Rachel's dad, he was very concerned about my livelihood and was like, what's your 5-year plan? And I was like, to grow my hair out.
Good plan.
Yeah, but I did it 6 years just to prove to him I'm not a quitter. So
he's loved you ever since.
And you had short hair when you met him.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've done it time and time again. It keeps coming back.
It is so far.
Yeah. All right. So. A man who also I've seen with short hair and longer hair over the years. Here he is wearing a Carhartt ski hat. As all of the top trendsetters do, it's Vascular D, Danny Bryson.
Guys, lucky to be here.
Yeah, VD.
I had quite the experience.
What? What happened?
Ooh.
Well, remember I said I might go on an adventure?
Uh-huh.
So after the podcast, I spent most of the afternoon wondering whether or not I should go. And around 6 o'clock, I'm like, I'm going to go. I can't get anyone else to go with me. I'll go by myself. So I went to the Tetons. And I slept on the side of the road in my car.
What does Tetons mean in English?
I'll have to look that up on an image search. Okay. I slept in my car, woke up at 4 and headed out on my skis to ski a big mountain in the Teton range, kind of more remote on the northern part of the range. I get to the top, one of the hardest. I just felt like absolute garbage. I got to the top. Took me forever, started skiing down and just puked all over the place while I was descending. I managed to stop. I did ski once while puking, but at that time I stopped and just threw up.
Okay.
Then I skied a little bit more, threw up again. Then I was skiing again and this time just threw up while moving, which I found fascinating. You're going through the pain of puking. But I'm also thinking to myself, this is
the highs of skiing.
I've never been skiing and throwing up simultaneously. This is just an interesting experience.
You think you're going to like probably do a master class on it?
Yeah. So
can I ask, what was the position that you were? Are you just like sort of like head over feet, like just puking like in between your
when I was skiing backwards? No, that actually, you know what? That would have been the way to go.
Skiing
backwards. But I was cruising on like a gentle slope. So I just went over like this, turned to the side and threw up. Anyway, I keep puking. Like it's turning into stomach bile. Now it's, I'm puking and nothing's coming out, but my stomach muscles are cramping because I have no electrolytes. I've been out for probably 9 hours by this point. Okay. So eventually I just like collapse on like this rock. And I think I fell asleep 2 hours later. I'm all alone, like pretty remote.
Cold? How cold is it?
It was hot. And that was why I was puking because I overheated.
Did St. Bernard come find you?
Gosh, I wish. I was wishing I saw somebody. Whiskey. The request I was going to make was, if I saw someone, do you have a beverage other than water? Because part of the problem is every time I drink even the smallest amount of water, I would just puke.
Your body would reject it.
It would be rejected so hard. Eventually, I got to the edge of the lake. And I remember telling you guys I wouldn't cross the lake.
What lake is it?
What is that giant lake called? Not Jackson Lake. Maybe Lay Lake.
Okay.
Anyway, I get to the edge of it and I remember specifically telling you guys I wouldn't cross it and I started to cross it. Right. And it's like,
you promised us, Danny.
I know.
You're so lightweight at this point from all the puke.
I have no puke. I've been out forever. I need to do the shortcut across the lake. Don't want to go along the shoreline. So I go out on this lake and I have to walk over one or two cracks. Right. So that I can see the depth of the ice. It looks
how thick is it?
It looked thick, right?
Like what?
I want to say at least 8-9 inches.
Oh, that's super thick, dude.
Yeah. So here's the scary part. I get out. I'm getting out into the deeper or the more remote section of the lake. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I'm using my pole to check for holes.
Sure.
The problem is there's like 6 inches of slush before the pole will even hit the ice. Eventually I thought of our promise not to go on the ice, you guys. I said I can't die for Tyson and Rob's sake.
Yeah.
So I headed back to the shore and I didn't keep going and stuck to the trees because I just thought, man, they would be, I know Tyson has a speech ready, but they would just be the grieving process would destroy News AF. So I got back eventually after something like 12, 13 hours to my car. But man, it was one of the worst experiences I've had in a while. Like imagine having the worst food poisoning of your life.
Is that what it was? Food poisoning?
No, it was overheating.
Food exhaustion.
You imagine didn't eat Lucky Charms for breakfast that day, did you?
No, I didn't have.
And you had no Mountain Dew with you.
I know. I swapped out my Mountain Dew for a Red Bull. Big mistake. But the way to compare this is imagine you have the worst food illness you've ever had. Then take that while you're puking and feeling like garbage. You can't lay down at home. You're out in the woods by yourself. Then I hand you a 30-pound backpack while you're puking and say, oh, by the way, you have to go, 10 miles back.
You get to. Yeah.
You chose this life. Snow ever.
You chose this life, Danny. Don't be like, you have to.
I know.
So are you cured of your adventure days now?
Oh, dude.
Every time this happens,
so stoked.
I'm like, why the hell am I doing this? That's what I say during these very low moments.
Every time you go on something like this, that's what I say.
Well, you say that. I only have these types of experiences maybe 3 or 4 times a year. So the rest of the time, it's good. But gosh, it was nasty. Mm-hmm. One of the worst.
Yeah.
But just glad to be back.
Left it all out on the mountain. Really?
Yeah, cool. I left it all on the mountain. So much of my fluids.
Well, I've been running and feeling pretty good, Danny. I'm ready for an adventure.
Okay, let's go long and hard.
No, I will.
Let's see if we can get you to puke.
What How do you think you ate, hard? Danny?
It was overheating. So I started the morning. I had checked the temperatures the day before, assuming it would be cold. Then I started off in the morning. It was just hot. And I kept probably too much clothing on. Got the backpack on. And I went as fast as I could to get to the base of the mountain. And there's this, for people who know about overheating, there's like this lag. So I had overheated approaching the mountain, but it didn't show itself until I started skiing down.
Yeah, it didn't rear its ugly head.
Yeah. it was nasty, but cool. Anyway, man, just glad to be here. It's so much easier to podcast.
Yeah, than we're happy you're here too. We're happy you're here too. I mean, yeah, you have some good takes sometimes, and we would have missed those.
I know. I was worried, like, what if even I do make it, but I have like brain damage?
Yeah,
when you're throwing up that hard, you do feel as if you're damaging blood vessels all over your body. Like, it's just so much pressure on your head when you're puking and
you're really pushing that out. Yeah,
dude, it's worse than any dump I've ever taken.
Wow,
never pushed that.
And Tyson,
hard.
What if Danny just like wasn't as quick on the podcast? We'd have to have make like a difficult decision.
Noelle, you'd have to keep him for a certain amount of time.
That's right. Then, that's proper.
And then
that's
find a and then find a reason to get rid of him. So all we'd be doing is he'd think that we're all cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, what
we'd
you
be
say,
like, we'd be circling like buzzards, waiting for him to just mess up just enough for us to be like, Danny, we got to part ways with you.
Or you just say we're canceling News AF and then start something called like News AF Plus.
No, that would still hurt your feelings and people would still see that. Mm-hmm. That's the thing is like,
I'm just glad you guys are so considerate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd have to stick by you, for visuals.
So anyway, I'm just glad to be here, Rob. This is nice. This is probably what I should just do.
Yeah, Danny, this was the most harrowing story you've had in a while.
Yeah. There's a stomach bug going around. You sure it's not that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It could have been a stomach bug, but it felt more like overheating.
Yeah, last week, my son, he was puking. They said it was the flu. Mm-hmm.
So it could have been. The reason Bergen I don't think it was that.
Stomach stuff.
Is I recovered by the time I got home.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about something else that you could be doing to recover from a lot of the things that, you know, are really bringing us down in modern day society, because there's a simple thing that you could do to improve your well-being and cut down the anxiety levels and even depression. And that is a 1 week social media vacation.
So here's where I disagree is that Danny was on a social media vacation and was puking his guts out.
Yeah. But what if those were the withdrawal symptoms?
Oh my God, that you were going through withdrawals
from social media. Yeah. And my body is like, my eyes haven't absorbed the light from my phone in so long.
Wow.
That I was like, puking out all the bile that comes from social media, and it just purged. And it wasn't until I got reception. Actually, it wasn't until I had reception that I started to feel better.
You had no bars.
Yeah, I had no bars.
That's why.
If you have no bars, you will die.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I think that it wasn't that I would die. It was just that I was going through the withdrawals.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's real rough, dude. But like, I'm proud of you that you did that.
Should we make a patch, you know, to help people get off?
Oh, a blue light patch?
Yeah, maybe blue light patch.
Yeah.
Absorb. Listen, so what you do, you take this patch, it's got blue light in it. You stick it on your arm. It puts blue light into your bloodstream.
Pulses.
And then it sometimes vibrates like the phone in your pocket.
It's not just the light. I think also like the way that a lot of these social networks are addicting is that, you know, you get something. It's sort of like the slot machine theory of like, you don't always get like good stuff, but sometimes you go there and then there is something good. Great, so you get like a little like hit of dopamine. So the patch has got to like randomly dispense enough dopamine to, you know, sort of like help you. Like sometimes I feel like I'm just like tired and I'm just like looking at like TikTok because you know it's helping me stay awake.
So if we were to label give a comparison each social media site to a drug, what do we think is the hardest drug out there in terms of social media?
Well, I think that probably the Twitter is, because I think that Twitter offers something that the others don't necessarily do. And I guess Facebook, if you're of a certain age, I think also.
I think it's Instagram.
You think Instagram?
I would say Instagram too.
You got the likes, then you have like people like commenting on your image, and then you have. Yeah, I think it's Instagram.
Well, dude. I think that, but I think that the strongest like emotions I think are found on those other platforms where I feel like that Instagram is, you know, it feeds into other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I kind of agree with Tyson. I think that Instagram
Probably. I think it's the superficial, the addiction to superficiality that is the strongest. It's
It can also depend on the user. I think Rob is probably a heavier Twitter user.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Oh, Rob is, yeah.
Rob has a hidden burner phone in the upper thing of his toilet. So he's like, here, Nicole, hold my phone. I'm just going to the bathroom real quick. And then he goes in there and pops the toilet, pulls out his burner phone that's in a Ziploc bag and checks Twitter a bunch.
Okay, which one is the weakest drug? Which one's the weed?
For people our age, I think Facebook, anybody our age or younger, like I don't even do anything on Facebook and I barely get on Facebook, but I have Facebook because I need it for some reason.
But it was the gateway social media.
It was the gateway social media.
Get you into all the hard stuff.
Yeah. And basically it does all the things the other ones do, but it does so much. And it's like an Android phone where it can do everything at 80%. Good, where an Apple phone can do 90% of what an Android phone can do, but it executes perfectly on those things.
Well said.
So Facebook is that. It's like, we do everything, but not very good.
Yeah.
And then Instagram's like, we just do photos. We do them great. And then Twitter's like, we just do like short snippets and that's our thing. So you could do all of those things on one platform, but why?
Yeah. Well, just to go back to the study that was done, that this was 154 people between 18 and 72 who all use social media daily. On average, these people were spending 8 hours of their week browsing the various social platforms.
Whoa, that's not very much, if we're going to be honest, dude.
Not that much.
8 hours a week?
Yeah, that might have been the 72-year-old. Yeah,
yeah. I did 8 hours this morning.
Okay. So what they did was they split the participants into one of two groups. One used social media as normal. One tried to avoid any social media use for a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
And so what they found was that the from the mental health scores that they had at the start of the study, results showed that avoiding the social media for a full week led to dramatic improvements in well-being regardless of age, including drops in anxiety and depression. I would love a social media vacation.
I take them sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like, I'm tired of posting and doing stuff. Although last night I played pickleball with this kid and he's a kid I've met at he's like one of the local coaches for Bergen's clinic. She plays pickleball. He's a 13-year-old kid. And I got him to play some pickleball because we needed a fourth guy. And he was like, hey, if I get over 1,000 followers on Instagram, I'm going to change my name to Pickleball Playa on Instagram. I was like, I got an idea. Why don't you change your name to Diarrhea Pants Magoo and I'll actually help get you followers. And he's like, well, he seemed a little hesitant, but I did post.
Diarrhea Pants Magoo?
Yeah. So I posted it on Instagram. Let's see where he's at right now. I did it yesterday. And
his anxiety and depression is through the roof.
The video has 12,000 hits. And I think he's probably gained about 60 to 70 followers. Okay. He's almost 700. DPM. Yeah. we got to get him there. He's pickleball_gymnast right now. Cause he's a gymnast and a pickleball player, but if we can get him to 1,000 followers, he'll change his name to Diarrhea Pants Magoo.
Yeah. All right. So if anybody's thinking about, if you want to have a staycation, think about a social media break. Idea. That could be something.
I would do that.
But think about the withdrawals. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Cause Danny's harrowing tale of withdrawals as he probably was, you were fine going across the lake, around the lake. You were fine going up. Then you went out of service. And at that point, your body is like shutting down.
It wasn't being pelted by high frequency radio waves.
Yeah.
Each
individual cell in your body was probably freaking out.
Oh, vibrating uncontrollably. Lucky I didn't have diarrhea too.
I know you probably, your butthole probably did try to make some, but you'd already puked everything out.
Yeah. Have you thought about Diarrhea Pants Bryson as a new Twitter handle?
No. By the way, that would stress me out. If Tyson did a contest like that, I feel bad for this kid because he's like both wants followers, but is also praying.
At what price?
Yeah, it doesn't happen. He's so stuck. He needs a week off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. He's a good kid. I think he'll be okay.
Okay. Another study this week where they talked to 2,000 dog and cat owners revealed that 33% of these people would choose their four-legged friend, their dog or their cat, instead of their house. And also 33% said that they would choose their pet over their significant other.
Wow. Crazy. So I just want to get some clarification on this study. Does that mean their significant other is certain death? Like dead. They're choosing them to be dead. Or just like, I will break up.
I think it would be like divorced. I don't think it was necessarily dead.
All right. Well, let's,
I just find it hard that the, you can't hold a dog over your head and receive shelter. It's crazy to me that you would choose your pet over your house.
Maybe they don't have nice houses. Warm.
Maybe they're renting.
Well, yeah. The people that would say yes to that probably have
maybe
like
they're
10
underwater
dogs,
on their mortgage.
Cats. Yeah.
People taking surveys don't own houses.
Well, survey people also probably have more than 10 pets.
That's true.
So their house already smells like
and most of them probably don't have significant others. Mm-hmm. So like this is an easy
point.
This is easy for them. Danny, you have a cat.
Yeah.
Are you giving up your house for your cat?
Just had an argument about this cat this morning.
You want to keep it? The whole family wants to get rid of it.
I play pranks on my cat.
Which makes it angry,
Liz
probably.
Got so mad at me this morning. She said, "You are making our cat
paranoid.
Paranoid, yes.
Yeah.
Paranoid.
So
you
so
can't
it
you
really
can't
upsets
play.
Me. Me, like when it's walking calmly through the kitchen, I'll screech my shoe on the kitchen floor and it'll freak out.
Yeah, that's
things
cruel.
Like that. I just
that's
scare it all the
cruel.
Time.
Yeah. So now what's gonna happen? Cool. It's cruel, cruel, cruel.
It's
cruel.
Not cruel. That's not cruel. That's and by the way,
listen,
if anything,
you're training it now. Your no. kid accidentally does something and it scratches.
This is the father nature, Danny.
Guys, no, let me tell you what I've seen as this cat has been in our house now for a while. It cares less and less. And that's what I was trying to tell Liz. I said, "Oh, you think I'm startling it all the time? Let me tell you, this cat doesn't care at all. More than 50% of the time, whereas it used to be 100% of the time. Now it just looks at me and rolls its eyes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's
so
not really that big
the
of a
cat.
Deal.
Yeah.
So are you giving up your house for this cat if like you were like had to choose between one or the other?
I think Liz would.
Okay.
So and Liz gives up the house. Okay, that works out great for me. I'd lose a wife, but I also lose a pet and
wait,
a house
wait.
For free.
So Liz would also divorce you and
she would have well, let's just say she's like, I will she gets the cat, but she loses the house.
Yeah.
Now the house without is fine. House. We're still married, but she lives in a tent in the backyard.
With
sure.
The cat.
Yeah. With the cat.
But you lost it. But you picked the house over your spouse.
Yes. Who chose the cat. That wasn't my fault. She chose the cat over me, but we're still married. She's in the backyard
Tyson,
with a tent.
Should this be a new game show of house spouse or I wish that I guess if
house,
your pet was a
mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If your pet was a mouse
or grouse, a grouse would work too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of someone having a grouse as a pet.
That would be really cool though. Like imagine how many looks you'd get if you had a grouse like on a leash walking around. Listen, Rob, you have a dog.
Yeah.
You love this dog. You just got this dog.
Mm-hmm.
You picking the dog over your house?
Boy, so if I was on a house, spouse, or mouse.
Here's what you got to do. You either got to release the dog into the Appalachians, into the mountains.
Sure.
Like, goodbye, dog.
Somebody would find her.
Okay. Well, then it has to be more severe than that.
Yeah.
No, it's just she's not mine anymore.
Be more severe. Yeah. Why does it? It's not like
because
the dog
if
dies.
If I let go of Nicole, it's that she's gonna she'll remarry. She'll find. She'll date. She'll like. I'm letting go. I'm not like this. Like she's not gonna be like unalived or anything like that.
Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is, like, I wanted it to be a severe enough. Action
it's just that doesn't no, it's not with
demolishing
me
your house or demolishing
I don't
house.
Even think that the house has to be destroyed. Another family moves in. I just don't live here anymore.
By the way, giving up your spouse for a pet says
so
more
you're
about
keeping
your
the dog or you're getting rid of the dog, Rob.
I only get to keep one of the three.
No, there are two separate questions. Are mm-hmm. you keeping the house or the dog?
I think I'd go house over the dog.
Oh, thank goodness.
Know. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Are you keeping Nicole over the dog?
Yeah, I'd keep, I don't want to say.
We can talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can talk about this over.
After. Yeah. Prefer Nicole over the dog.
I have two desert tortoises.
Yeah.
I will say goodbye to them right now if I have to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for which, the house or the spouse or both?
Both. I'm okay. keeping the spouse.
That's good to know that you value Rachel more than two desert tortoises.
Well, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm 42, going to be 43, which is the same age you guys are already. Mm-hmm. I'm not finding anybody else that's going to,
tolerate your bull crap.
Shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
exactly. So I'm like, I found Rachel. She mostly tolerates my whatever garbage I got going on. I've got stacks of Fila boxes in my master bedroom of brand new clothes and shoes and stuff. And she doesn't love it, but like, that's the life we live, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know who would tolerate all of your BS?
A dog.
A desert tortoise.
Yeah.
Would never say anything tortoise. Bad about you.
That's true. Honestly,
never criticize you, never nag mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. Would love you for who you are.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You fed it.
Wow. That's a pretty good sales pitch, actually.
Yeah.
How big is a desert tortoise?
Big? Right now, Chaz Lamborghini right now is like 30 pounds, dude.
Whoa.
And he started as like smaller than the palm of my hand, teeny tiny, and at 4 years, but he could be up to 200 pounds.
Whoa.
Yeah. And live 150 years. It's a family heirloom. That's the beauty of a desert tortoise as a pet, is it's a family heirloom. And they graze on grass, Danny. You could put your desert tortoise out in your backyard. It would just munch on
grass. How effective are they? Are they like goats?
Very slow.
They're not that slow, but they do.
Can they mow my lawn once a week? Like that's how effective they are.
Do you need the lines and stuff?
Could I get some lines?
Yeah.
You need like some lawnmower tire lines in there.
I love the lines.
Don't do that. Mm-hmm. They don't do that. They definitely don't do that. And they do eat it in patches. So it doesn't look great, but you don't have to put food out for them. All I do is I put fruit and vegetable scraps out for them, our cutoffs of our stuff. And then they graze on the grass. It's a really beautiful pet. Yeah, I could leave for 2 weeks and they wouldn't need anything from me.
Wow.
What do they give back?
Love.
They are pretty funny. They will interact with you. They'll like come up and like nudge you, see if you have food. They'll try taking nibbles at your toes if you're wearing nail polish because they think it's a strawberry.
This is the least exciting pet I've ever heard of.
I bet there's more.
An insect? That's like the next level.
A cricket?
Yeah. Like a cricket. At least the crickets
could fight. Well, Danny, maybe that's the move. Maybe you don't have that exciting of a pet, so your spouse doesn't pick the pet over you or the house.
What does your cat do that's so exciting?
I don't like the cat. The cat does nothing that entertains me. Although it is active, mm-hmm. I do appreciate its hunting prowess mm-hmm. when it's hunting garbage that kids leave on the floor. It's impressive.
It hunts garbage.
Like it toys with things.
I'm getting the sneezes just you talking about the cat.
Okay. All right, here. Well, let's go back to some more dog talk. Okay, so maybe if you don't want to have your own dog, you could find yourself maybe in the predicament of this couple in Tennessee. This is the tale of a couple that they woke up one morning to find a dog in bed with them, except that the dog is not their dog.
I'm guessing they had a dog door, right? Otherwise, these people are the most carefree individuals I've ever heard of. Leave all the doors open straight to their bedroom.
So they actually do have three dogs, this couple, Jupiter, Hollis, and Zeppelin. And they have a back door, which was left open by accident. Enter a strange dog named Nala, who lived 2 miles away, who went in to go into their house and then got into bed with this couple.
Ooh, non-consensual.
Non-consensual. Yeah.
Wow.
What if Nala was trained to break into houses and steal valuables?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doug is the freakiest freak.
Is Nala a big dog?
Pretty big dog. Yeah. Nala, let me see if I can give you.
Nala is the name of Simba's girlfriend on The Lion King.
Yes. Whenever you guys give me the name of a dog, all I can do is hear the owner yelling that name over and over and over, pretending as if their dog can listen and respond to its own name.
Mm-hmm.
Nala, Nala,
guys,
Nala, get over here. Nala,
where are you?
Nala,
my neighborhood is mostly dog owners.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But for some reason, because most of them are dog owners, they just assume that the dogs can shit on anybody's front yard that they want to. I put these no dog signs on my front yard, like lining my yard, and
they've been ignored.
No, they haven't. They've been respected.
Oh, that's so unusual.
The other day I rolled up after dropping Bergen off from school at school pretty early. And there was a lady with two big dogs on leash right in front of my house, like standing there, letting them sniff my front yard. So I pulled my van up right in front of her and just sat in the van watching her like she was in my way until she left. And then she walked away and I parked my van and I was like, that was a really strong play by me.
That was an alpha dog play.
I just like pulled up, was like, oh, you and your dogs are where my van needs to be right now.
How would you feel if her dog showed up in your bed?
One time when we first moved in here, there was a dog in our backyard. A dog got in our backyard somehow, even though we have a fence and everything.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And I was like, this isn't
an interdimensional dog.
Mm-hmm. No, it was our neighbors had hopped. It had hopped the fence because I guess they had some weird planters stacked up that it got over our fence. And I was not having it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see that alligator climbing that fence?
No.
Alligators climb fences now?
Yeah, I watched the video. It wasn't clear how high the fence or if there was some kind of thing on the other side allowing it, but it did climb a fence.
Wow. Good for that.
Working its way into someone's bedroom, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably finding some dog doors.
Yeah.
Can alligators go through dog doors or are they only for dogs?
Do you think they got up and they see the sign that says dogs only? They're like, not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel like that the way that the dog's legs are, I think it's easy for the dog to get in there, but I feel like that the alligator has like legs that are out to the side. I think the alligator could get its head through the dog door, but I think it would be tough to get its arms through.
That would make it a more impressive story.
Yeah.
Couple finds alligator in bed with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
just wants to snuggle.
You've heard of the mountain lion stories in Utah from time to time. Mm-hmm. Mountain lion will go through a dog door.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And eat the dogs on the kitchen table.
Never heard of that.
You haven't? No, that happened in Utah like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
You know where, Danny will know, you go up Provo Canyon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And on the left-hand side, right as you get into the canyon, there's that little teeny road with a stretch of like 10 houses.
Yep.
That back up against the Provo River. I think it happened.
A dog got eaten there?
Yeah. If you Google like neighborhood, if you Google like, you could probably find the news story, but I did. The homeowner showed up to a mountain lion eating a pet in their house.
Mm,
dang.
The guy spooked him off with a gun.
People sometimes find strangers in their bed. No, I'm not even talking like about, you know, like marital affairs. I'm talking about drunk people stumbling in. You know, they usually make themselves some food and then pass out.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would much rather have a dog.
Rachel looks at me like I'm a stranger sometimes.
That can happen.
Yeah.
So just one last note on this dog that ended up in the bed. Like they couldn't get the dog out of the bed. And the woman, this couple is Julie Johnson and Jimmy Johnson, not the famed NFL coach.
A different guy.
Yeah. That they posted on Facebook like, hey, is this your dog? But the woman just stayed in bed and snuggled with the dog all day, according to this report. Like, could you imagine that the dog like comes and lays in your bed and you're just like, ain't no thing. No.
No, I can't.
No room. The more, the merrier.
This is dog people though. Mm-hmm. Though, like, cause all dogs, whatever, you love dogs. Cool. But I'm not touching a dog that doesn't have a collar on it. I'm not touching a dog in
general. In your bed.
Yeah. I'm not touching a dog in general. But like, there are people that you go out. Man, I'm getting a lot of calls today. Mm-hmm. You go out.
Dog people will probably.
They're irate.
And you go out and somebody, you're with a dog person and they're like, hey, there's a stray dog. I'm going to pet it. I'm going to call it over. Then I'm going to snuggle it. And I'm probably going to kiss it on its face somewhere. You're like, but why? You don't know where that face has been. You don't know how the dog's going to react.
In another dog's butthole.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of know, but like that's not me. And I am a little turned off by that just because I would not do that to any type of animal or human that was strange to me.
Yeah.
And I think that some of that stuff, I mean, I guess it's
consensual. And you're Father Nature.
Comes to you. I'm Father Nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tyson didn't say he wouldn't do that with a wolf. I'm pretty sure Tyson would do that with a wolf. But
definitely with a wolf. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that with any animal because you don't know the animal and you don't trust the animal. And how are you just giving this trust to these animals like that?
Okay. Well, let me share with you another dog story that we have here today. Now, this is a dog that I actually do care for a great deal. Let me show you a little bit about a dog named Lexi. Lexi is lives on a sheep farm. And is a dog that has a unique talent. Mm-hmm. This is a dog that can drive a car.
Okay, I kissed this dog in the face.
All right. Yeah,
this dog gets some face muscles.
Here's this dog. They put the car in first gear, and then the dog, as you can see here, is able to drive the car.
Whoa. Yeah. There is no one in the car with the dog.
Well, no. I guess not. Yeah.
In some of the footage, the dog is completely alone.
Yeah.
I don't think that dog is really steering the car.
Yeah, I think it's just an open.
You think it's a remote control?
Yeah. No, I just think it's such a huge area that the dog, as long as it doesn't make any sudden moves.
I mean, but there's all these sheep here on the farm. Are they worried that the dog?
I want to see him make a turn. If the dog could make a 90-degree turn, I'd say he was driving the car. A controlled turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Danny, would you get in a car that a dog was driving?
No. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't think this dog is driving the car. He just happens to have his hands on the steering wheel mm-hmm. while the car is moving.
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably find a parrot that drives a car mm-hmm. as well as this dog. Just have it sit there on the steering wheel, you know, and balance itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of animals that can drive like this dog.
Yeah. Look, the Lexi gets in the car, goes on the steering, the driver's side. And then is able to, seems to know what's going on. Probably safer than a
dog that
could
do my taxes.
Yeah.
More than a dog that drives like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does Lexi need a license, Tyson?
Not on the farm like that, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fine. It's a different type of thing. But I also still think that...
Look, the dog even has the keys in its mouth.
This is sensationalized. This isn't real. Like I could go put my tortoise in the driver's seat right now and pop my car in first
and
gear.
Get a story.
She's driving a tractor now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tortoise operates chainsaw. Mm-hmm. That would be a good headline. Get a running chainsaw in front of the tortoise. Tortoise flies helicopter. Maybe get a tortoise into the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely trust a tortoise more than a dog because it's so slow that you would be able to, you know, correct any bad input it's giving the vehicle. Mm-hmm. The dog could do anything at any moment.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of standing next to the car, letting the dog drive it on its own. That mm-hmm. dog could step on that steering wheel and drive right into the owner of that car.
Ooh. Okay.
Dog kills man. Dog kills owner with car.
Yeah.
Also a sensational
hit. It's a first gear. What, mm-hmm. you think that the dog is just,
well, a car runs over you in first gear, that's still going to hurt.
Yeah, but it's like, you're going to just stay put there like that.
What if you trip? Haven't you seen any horror movies? The moment you need to run is usually the moment you trip and drop your cell phone and the battery dies.
Okay, but hypothetically, Danny, now let's change the equation a little bit. Are you picking Liz, your house, or a dog that can drive a car?
My house,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
I would like to weigh in here.
Yes.
It's weird that I had to ditch Liz in those choices, but
if the dog, I want to negotiate a little bit with you here, Rob. If the dog is licensed to drive on freeways and is a good driver, so can act as chauffeur to me and will live for 40 years.
Yeah.
I'm in. Give me that dog.
I mean, the earning potential for the dog.
I was going to say
a novelty act is huge.
Yeah. Everyone's looking for the next grumpy cat. Right.
Yeah.
That's self-driving cars. Like that's what it's for me. Like I have to feed this dog and love this dog. And if it's driving me everywhere I need to go, I am going to fall in love with this dog. Mm-hmm. And because I hate driving. Yeah. I like to just sit in a car and not drive. And if this dog could give me that, then yeah, I'd be willing to make some sacrifices for it.
Mm-hmm. So who are you getting rid of? Rachel or the house?
The house. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You can live in the car with the dog.
Ooh. Could I still live in my backyard?
Only if the dog says.
Okay.
the dog gets us the house?
Oh my. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, the dog gets the house?
No, I don't think so.
Plus, you could sleep in your van. I've slept in minivans lots of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're comfortable.
Yeah. Okay. Danny. That this might be a story of interest to you. Okay. The Texas Police Department is looking for information about a man who has stolen a lawnmower. However, this man has also used the lawnmower to mow the lawn of the man that he stole the lawnmower from.
He fills it up with gas even.
Mm-hmm.
So he went in search of gas, fills it up. Here's the most disturbing part of this story.
Yes.
He mows the lawn at night, which is very antisocial behavior.
I know all about that.
How does that not get attention, unwanted attention? He's mowing at night in the dark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I kind of like it as a thief. Like you get one last run of the lawnmower and he'll even do it. And then the lawnmower's gone.
Yeah. Does he come back and mow your lawn or that he just does it the one time?
He just does it the one time. Well, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back.
If he comes back, it's like, who cares? You can
honestly,
keep
I'm not pressing charges if he's coming back every week. It's kind of wild. I would be interested in interviewing this man. Cause remember he did get gas, fill it up, start it and then mow in the dark before walking away.
Yeah. Now, ultimately, he left the lawnmower in an alley, abandoned. Did he just need it for one day? And it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to go I can't go buy one and take it back. I guess I could rent one, but let me just steal somebody's.
What if he lives in a condo? He's never had that experience, right? He's like, I've never had the suburban life. I just want to mow a lawn. See what it feels like.
Yeah, this is what happened.
It even has a white picket fence. He's dude like, was walking the American dream.
Dude was walking and he was like, driving mower. That looks dope.
No, not a driving mower. It's a push regular mower. And it was not anywhere near the street.
Was it a nice mower?
I can't tell from the video. It just looks like your average mower.
Pretty average. Looks like pretty basic.
I get the riding lawnmower attraction. Oh, dude. Freaking riding lawnmower. Those are awesome. Mm-hmm. But this isn't. This is a push mower.
Yeah.
Okay. But is it a nice push mower?
No, it doesn't have any bells or whistles that I can see from the video.
Yeah, it's very basic. But did the guy whose lawnmower got stolen hear the lawnmower at nighttime?
He's too busy cuddling with strangers' dogs.
You think so?
Yeah, probably. Couldn't hear the mower over the sound of the cuddling.
Mm-hmm.
That part is interesting. I didn't look into it and the article doesn't say if they were even home.
Mm-hmm.
Premeditated mowing. Maybe he waited until they
left. I don't mind this except for the fact that he ditched the mower somewhere else.
Yeah.
Why not just leave it on the lawn after you mow?
Maybe he needed it. Maybe he did other lawns, Tyson.
You think he just like did a whole neighborhood of lawns? Like it's like
he was like lived in the neighborhood himself and had to do his own lawn. Like, I guess he just like scoped out this house, saw the grass getting real high. Like, okay, these people must be out of town. I'm going to break in, steal their lawnmower. And then I'm going to do my house.
So that's the thing, is that sometimes I'm sure Danny, you've probably felt this too, Rob, in places you've lived, somebody with a snowblower wants to flex that they have a snowblower.
Oh, yeah.
And they go and snowblow the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm fine with.
Even if you don't want to be snowblowed. Mm-hmm. So Danny, you're saying that even if you're just sitting there minding your own business, a dude comes up and snowblows you, you're totally fine.
So I have a neighbor. The flex here is to have a four wheeler with a plow. Yeah. Right. And you know what? Those guys are awesome because they plow all the sidewalks in the entire neighborhood because they're so stoked to be mm-hmm. able to use it. They even sometimes, if I'm out shoveling, will help me with my driveway. I think it's awesome. Like, dude, go ahead. I'd love your four wheelers probably as much as you do. Go ahead and plow as much stuff as you want. Mm-hmm. It makes the neighborhood look great and operate smoothly.
Okay.
So I'm fine with that.
All right. If anybody knows the whereabouts of the mystery mower, there is a reward from yes.
You know how they have neighborhood libraries, little book things in neighborhoods? Yes. What if they created like a neighborhood lawnmower?
Tool shed.
A tool shed, yeah, where like you could just come and grab a lawnmower and mow some lawns and put the urge.
Yeah. Wait, so like at trailheads, they have
the bike service tools
sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like they have those like little stations where there's library books. Yeah, there's give a penny, take a penny. There's also like some neighborhoods that have like a little library and you can go and take a book and trade a book. Mm-hmm. This is like that. You just
what
like
a utopia.
What, yeah. Well, because sometimes you want to do a good deed, but maybe you don't have the tools necessary, or maybe you don't have the consent from the people to do this.
Yeah.
And it could be even when like sometimes in the neighborhood, we'll go out and we'll, you know, help someone, an old lady trim her
business
yard.
Idea.
Yeah. But even then it feels like a violation of like, even when I have permission to help with her yard, I still feel like I shouldn't be there. I'd like to see like a neighborhood that's just saying, hey, these are the lawnmowers. You feel like mowing. We all agree that you can come and mow. Mm-hmm.
I think you can't provide tools that are dangerous to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spinning blades.
Yeah. But you can like, let's say like,
what about those old school ones?
No, because you could get fingers and toes in there. That's what I have. I have an old school one that I use on my lawn here. Oh. But here's the thing is you could sell it as, like, oh, this is a release. It's a social media. You're away from social media. It's a detox. You're also like outside. And some people, I think their therapy is they go out and do like pick weeds and like pretty up their garden and stuff. So you could have like a path into your yard with a little shed with like gardening gloves and rakes and shovels and whatever, and just be like, have at it. This is your therapy. Just drop $20 donation in here. And you
opportunity.
You can do all the yard work you want.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wish that was a thing.
Would have been a huge during sort of quarantine. People that are like in an apartment that want to come out and get in like the gardening craze.
Yes. Yes.
Would have been huge.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think there's a market for it.
All right, an update on a story that we brought to you last week. We talked to you about the story of a man named Malcolm McDonald, the man who had a very serious condition that caused his penis to atrophy and fall off. And then through the amazing scientist.
What's his name again?
Malcolm McDonald.
So are they going to call this Malcolm McDonald syndrome?
Why does call it? I got Malcolmed.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm McDonald syndrome, mm-hmm. where your penis falls off.
Yeah. And so through the marvels of modern medicine, they were able to grow a new phallus for him on his arm. And now they have been able to finally reattach it using a hydraulic system so that it is a working penis again for Malcolm McDonald. This story caught the attention of actress Kate Beckinsale, who posted on Instagram recently this story, who said, literally scouring for news that doesn't make me want to jump out the window. The man said, it's not every day you see a man with a penis on his arm. Of course, I see the funny side. Of course, he is from the UK. Of course, he has done a photo shoot down the wreck with a willy hanging out his sleeve. Feel momentarily better. God bless you, Malcolm.
He tried to turn it into a date, by the way, which is smart because any day you can get the attention of Kate Beckinsale is a good day.
Wait, but also I want to say that Kate Beckinsale if she did come up with this caption on her own, is terrible at captions.
I think she did. I think she does control her own Instagram.
I don't love it. I think, okay, this is...
Well, you should love that it was her own creation. How rare is that for a celebrity?
Mm-hmm. Sure, I like that part, but
she's doing News AF on Instagram.
Yeah, but we can't have her as a co-host on News AF because doesn't seem that good at it.
We don't know. You don't know? Dude, I think she's highly educated.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm just saying, that's not the point. The point is that her caption was not hilarious. It wasn't clever. It was just...
Maybe you just don't get it because there's a cultural barrier. Look, I'm going to defend Beckinsale, okay?
Okay.
You think she's a billionaire? You think she's a billionaire?
I'm not saying she's a billionaire. I'm just saying maybe culturally you don't understand the subtle or British nuanced humor.
Yeah. British humor? Yeah. You think that's what it is?
Could be. You're just an American brute. Doesn't like to refine things of British humor.
Really?
Possibly, yeah. Tyson.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Malcolm McDonald said that he would even pay for a date with Kate Beckinsale at this point.
Now it reeks of desperation.
I was fine with it.
How interested are you in this story?
Yeah, I'll pay you to come on a date with you.
That sounds salacious. Yeah, I don't like
she
the sound of that.
She needs to get out immediately. This is danger for her. All the red flags are popping up, you know?
Dong on arm.
Penis arm guy is just like, you're too aggressive, penis arm guy.
Yeah. I like that Kate Beckinsale was kind of feeling like down in the dumps.
Is it Beckinsale or Beckinsale?
Oh, I think I have injected a D into the situation, much like the doctors with Malcolm's arm. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I put a D where it didn't belong again.
He just set me up.
D into his arm.
Yeah. Sorry. It's Kate Beckinsale. And I like that she's like feeling like really depressed about the state of the world. But the one thing that made her feel better was that Malcolm grew a penis on his arm.
Well, let's face it. It made us feel better.
It did.
That's why I was on News AF.
Mm-hmm. TKMG said, and this is a prediction from TKMG's, he gonna get Ken boned.
Yeah. So we will keep you posted. Now, Danny.
I think, I don't disagree that.
Everyone lives in fear of being Ken boned. Once the spotlight turns on you.
Yeah, only normies.
Milkshake Doc. Yeah.
Yeah, only normies need to be fearful of getting Ken boned because their rise to fame. Their meteoric rise to fame is chopped down.
Yeah. And Danny, Kate Beckinsale also has, in her dating past, has dated Pete Davidson.
I know.
Oh, so she's open to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
She should be fine.
Yes.
I have no comment. Had he gone to space, my opinion of him would have been higher.
Yeah. Malcolm McDonald definitely has a
step up from Pete.
Yeah, has a chance. Especially if he's growing more dicks on his arms.
Yeah, he's just harvesting them every decade.
Pete Davidson has it all of piercings and tattoos. Like, maybe this could be the next thing. Yeah, the next step.
Yeah, he's got it all.
Did you say ED?
BDE.
Oh, BDE. Yeah, no ED. Danny. Yeah. Are you ready to take us to your balt hole?
Yeah, let's go. That's where the best dicks grow.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Danny's balt hole. Here it is.
Welcome to my balt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yes.
By the way, bolt hole is a very British thing.
Yeah, so you're saying that you get Kate Beckinsale's humor and you think she's hilarious.
Because I've named this the bolt hole.
Little hideaway. You obviously also get it.
Little hideaway tucked away in the corner of the internet.
Sure.
Okay. You guys, are you guys done going to school? Or do you think you might go back?
I'm not going back. I told you my harrowing tale of going and meeting with the counselor when I was 28 years old.
Mm-hmm. Your opinion of an education might change. Once I came across this list of interesting classes, which occasionally is an article you see.
Yes. I already took bowling.
No, they have really interesting classes. I don't know if they're worthwhile in terms of getting a degree.
Yes. What school is this? This is just schools across
all
the world?
All sorts of schools. Okay. Right? Okay. Pepperdine has Introduction to Surfing.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Which sounds cool. I'm terrified.
Couldn't you just show up and be like, I'm here for class.
Audit. from the back. There is a college at Cornell University in upstate New York that is called Tree Climbing.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I love climbing trees, even at my age. When I was putting up my Christmas lights, I was like, this is, you know, it's kind of fun. Have you ever, when was the last time you climbed a tree, Tyson?
The last time I climbed a tree? I tried climbing a palm tree not too long ago. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out?
No, I can get up part way, but I was like, what happens if I get up all the way? Then how do I get back
down? Gotta have a plan. Yeah. Well, that's a one credit course. So you can climb trees and get some credit towards your degree.
Yeah. Okay.
Another really good one that I liked was, I'm trying to go, dealing tactfully with difficult people.
Oh,
ooh,
how do I think that
would be good?
Yeah.
Right? That's an extension at UCLA. If you're interested, that's a skill all of us need.
I don't need it. I'm very good at it already, but I could probably get better.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
We could all refine that skill
because non-difficult people are easy to deal with. You don't even have to like take a class for that. It's the difficult ones. Yeah,
that's true.
Another class, cow to cone.
Cow to cone with ice cream.
Love this.
Yeah.
Great. You know, I often wonder when I go to the grocery store.
Is this in Vermont?
How did these Penn State. How did these things get here from wherever they were sourced as raw materials to the shelf?
You never watch How It's Made?
You know, I've seen one or two. Yeah. But I thought that would be an interesting course to take. There's another one, and I was actually fascinated with this one. It's called Clap for Credit, and also known as Music 113, Music and Performance. It's offered at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. It's a musical credit, but what you are is an audience member. And I thought that's awesome because if you're in the department as an instrument player or performer, and this is what they said, you now have an audience that's required to be there and clap for your performance. So it's like a built-in audience.
Wow.
And yeah, you get, it's probably one credit course. So I thought that was an interesting class. Here's one that Tyson might need. Lady Gaga and the sociology of fame.
Oh, interesting. Why Lady Gaga as the center of the sociology of fame? Yeah.
Because, dude, you're the world's biggest pickleball influencer. Like, how are you going to navigate the very complex world of fame without taking this course at the University of South Carolina?
And Tyson could teach the course, Danny.
I could teach the course, Danny.
So it says they explore the sociology of pop culture through the rise of music. Musical icon, Lady Gaga. So that's kind of how they.
Interesting. Oh, cool. Yeah.
Here's a good class for Rob.
Yeah.
Introduction to world puppetry.
Why is that good for me, Danny?
Because you seem to have all these voices down.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this is.
Well, I don't really like puppets. I'll be honest. Especially like ventriloquist dummies. I find them hella creepy.
Yeah. Do you think they're the new clown?
They're not new to me.
Yeah.
So University of Connecticut
can really give me the heebie-jeebies.
So let's say you have to sleep with a clown or
when you say sleep, you mean like intercourse
in the same. Oh no, just in the same room. Okay. You could have twin beds on opposite sides of the room.
Yeah.
But in the same room.
Like a grown ass man in clown makeup.
Yes.
Or a ventriloquist dummy.
Yep.
I think I'd take the dummy.
Yeah. You could at least fight the dummy off.
Yeah. Even if the dummy came to life, I feel like I have more of a fighting chance than a creepy clown.
Sure.
Man.
Well, if you're interested in learning puppetry, the University of Connecticut actually offers lots of courses on the subject.
Yeah.
And I wondered if that's because there's still a need for puppetry, but it's so small. Only one university has decided to teach it.
Sure. There's only one guy right now who's turned puppetry into
85 years old. He contains all the knowledge of the world's puppetry.
No, isn't there a comedian that uses puppets?
Jeff Dunham.
Mm-hmm. He's currently the only successful puppeteer of modern time.
He's got like an old lady. He's got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a need, but it's very, very, very small.
No, I say he's got like it's like an old guy that he has.
So whatever.
I wonder what the need is. Like, what's the demand for puppetry worldwide?
Almost zero, I bet.
It's got to be close. Maybe in like the undeveloped world, there's still a strong demand for good puppet acts.
I don't know. I feel like the TikToks and like videos. I feel like that there could be like a market for like a puppet talking about things.
That's pretty yeah, like the comic dog. What's that guy's name?
Triumph. You know
what?
Yeah.
Triumph.
When people dance on TikTok, it's almost like they're puppets.
Interesting. Right?
You get everybody synced up doing the same dance.
Yeah. It
looks like a fancy puppet act.
Yeah. Ooh.
So now here's what I think. We take those dancing acts and then we put puppet strings on them. And then
did Boyz II Men or NSYNC?
Yeah,
NSYNC.
Yeah, NSYNC. One of their music videos was that. Right. You're right. Mm-hmm. That's probably where you got the idea subconsciously, and then
really, yeah, it stuck with me. I've never forgotten that.
Yeah, it's one of the things you think about most.
There's a handful of other courses, all of them awesome, but those ones really stood out to me. There's one about arguing with Judge Judy.
You know, arguing with Judge Judy.
Yeah, popular logic on TV judge shows is one. There's another one about going viral, which seemed very appropriate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As if you could take a class and then just graduate and make viral things all
you
day
can.
Long.
Not all day, but you have, there are ingredients.
Oh, I do agree there's ingredients, videos. But there is an element of luck that is required that you can't.
Yeah.
Can't summon.
Replicate. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are also ingredients.
So Tyson, I know you've shut the door on possible further education, but what I'm telling you is just open it a crack, because now school has become fun.
It that does sound fun. There's lots of fun things there, but also what's to stop me from learning those things without having to enroll in school?
Well, you could. You could do lots of things not going to school. You're just going for the credit.
Oh,
to put so it I towards need, some degree.
Okay. Yeah. As long as this school is accredited, because it sounds like I'm going to have to be bouncing around from a lot of universities to get the classes I want. And if all these classes are only one credit, it's going to take me.
Yeah, a lot of these are one credit
classes. So many.
Tyson, you're just going for the classes that you need. You think of all the money you're saving on your college education. If you're just going for like, this is like so smart, where if you know exactly what you want to do in life, just go to the classes that offer like what you need. Go just take those. Who cares about the rest of the diploma?
Okay.
Well, then what will you hang on your wall?
Yeah, you need the report card. Yeah.
You need the diploma. Otherwise, what point is taking the class when I could take it for cheaper, probably hiring a private surf instructor?
What if this is the best instructor? Like surfing is like you could take surf lessons anywhere. But some of these other classes.
Puppetry, introduction to world puppetry.
Cow to cone.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, you need the diploma to put on your wall in your office behind you to intimidate visitors so they could look up and be like, dude, you mastered in puppetry. all of a sudden, the atmosphere in the room has changed.
Mandarin, with a minor in Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah.
Chinese puppetry. Cricket fighting.
And international diplomacy. I have 3 degrees. World
the
puppetry.
One that would stand out the most would be your puppetry.
Yeah, degree. No. The only reason I'd have international diplomacy and Mandarin Chinese in conjunction with that is to boost my world puppetry degree.
So did you like world puppetry at the UN? You're the UN's official puppetry person.
Exactly.
Resolving conflict one string pull at a time.
Minister of puppetry for the UN. Yes.
All right. Well, great job once again here on the old News AF. Danny, please try to be safer this week.
I try. I just can't, I don't know.
You can't promise?
I can't promise.
What adventure do you have slated on the calendar for this week?
I've been watching the weather. I'm trying to get up to Washington State, but it seems to not, it hasn't stopped snowing since January.
In Washington State, it's
good
just
or bad?
Been snowing.
That's bad because I can't. The roads are closed. Some of the roads I need to get to. The avalanche danger is fluctuating unpredictably, and it's just kind of like a mess. So
it seems like
there,
you don't necessarily care about whether or not avalanches happen.
It looks like that, but it is something I consider.
Okay.
I do consider it a lot. Plus, a lot of these things involve me going out on my own in very remote areas. So even a small avalanche that loses a ski or breaks an arm or something, or even a ski pole could be disastrous.
Yeah, it could be a harrowing tale for us to share next
week. Yeah, exactly. Like I have to eat my own broken leg.
You're eating your own broken leg.
Yeah, right. Because I'm out there, I got a broken leg. The broken leg slows me down. And now I don't have any food left. Yeah. So naturally I eat the leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I get the whole concept of it.
So yeah,
I'll definitely have a movie made.
I'll be out there, but most importantly, it's not getting back to my family. It's getting back to this news AF that will probably drive me forward to eat my leg and push on.
Mm-hmm. The only constant in Danny's life is Tuesdays.
It really is.
Tuesday mornings.
All right. Well, great job once again, Danny. And Tyson, what about for you this week?
Oh, dude, I got some fun stuff coming up. Pickleball commentary is happening, and I'm the best in the business at it, so it's only natural.
No doubt.
But I'll be able to announce that shortly. And back on the courts, playing pickleball, and kids' last week of school is next week for us.
So, they're home all the time.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Okay. All right. Well, this was a really fun episode of News AF here this week. So this was a pleasure to be back here in the studio for this one. And thank you so much for listening to News AF. We always appreciate you checking out the show. And we'd love to hear what you think. So don't be afraid to shoot us a message on Twitter and let us know what you thought about the News AF. Thanks again, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.